You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by Homewatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
97.9 FM WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. Now, Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Caring Connections on WCHL. Today, we will be discussing the Caregiver Toolkit with Eileen McGinnis-Valancourt, Director of Programs and Advocacy for the Eastern North Carolina Chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you, Nicole.
Well, I'm really excited to have you here with us today. This is obviously an ever-growing topic and obviously something that our caregivers listening need to know more information about. So talk to us for a quick second about the mission and vision of the Alzheimer's Association.
The mission of the Alzheimer's Association is threefold. We provide support to caregivers and individuals who have a diagnosis of Alzheimer's or related dementia. We do like to be very sure that we include that because it's not just Alzheimer's disease that we provide support for. And we also do a lot of outreach for education, and that would be the second prong of our mission. And the third prong is that we are the single largest contributor to Alzheimer's research in the United States, second only to the federal government. So we really strive for a cure.
Wow, that's wonderful. So the purpose of our conversation today is to educate the listeners on your caregiver toolkit. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. We're very excited to be introducing very recently a new portion to our award-winning website, www.alz.org. We have a brand new Caregiver and Dementia Resource Center, and it's a wonderful opportunity for caregivers to go on to the website and create a care plan for themselves through the use of filters and lots of other options and questions at the website. So one can create a care plan for themselves. They can create a calendar, send a calendar out to their friends and say, hey, these are the days that I would like for you to come in and relieve me. Here's the day when I have a haircut. Here's the day when I'd like to have lunch with my mother, and send that out to all of their family and friends electronically. And then those of us who receive the calendar can fill in what days we can actually help and provide a little bit of relief to that caregiver. So it's a wonderful opportunity for family and friends to get engaged, and it's a great opportunity for the primary caregiver to get out of the house.
Wow, that's
so
great.
The calendar, it's a great opportunity. Mm. It's long overdue, and so we're really excited to introduce that. That is called the Alzheimer's Navigator, where you actually can create the care plan.
Okay.
We also have what we now call ALZ Connected, ALZ Connected, and that connects caregivers of all types together in a blog. And so you can get onto the website, you can blog with other caregivers. And
anytime, day or night.
Anytime, day or night, 24/7. And there's lots of different topic areas where the caregiver can go in. So if I'm troubled about one particular thing, I'm not stuck in one subject line. So there's lots of different opportunities at the blog to get involved in different types of conversations. The blogs are monitored just in case there is some erroneous information that might come out, or I might, you know, post something about my particular journey that's going to have nothing to do with your particular Alzheimer's caregiver journey. So we do have professionals monitoring that just to keep the information flowing and liquid and making sure everybody understands what's actually being said.
Interesting. What else is going on with your toolkit?
We are working hard with our driving center. Okay. Dementia and driving is a big challenging issue for all of us that are affected by Alzheimer's disease and the general public, because driving can be dangerous if it's not done by people who are fully skilled. So the Dementia and Driving Resource Center is a brand new addition and a great opportunity for individuals to see what other people are doing. When is it time to stop driving? Those sorts of things. Driving has a real relationship to independence. So this is a huge issue in every Alzheimer's family.
So you're the director of programs and advocacy. What are some of the programs that you offer to caregivers in our community here?
We have some fabulous programs. We do the Know the 10 Signs, which is an initial program, and it's something that I would present to anybody who wants to have a knowledge of Alzheimer's disease and understand the 10 most prevalent signs that symbolize that something is out of order, and they really speak to something called dementia.
Sure.
Excuse me. So we do the Know the 10 Signs. We also have the basics, which is a little more advanced. Mm-hmm. It gets into the meat and potatoes of Alzheimer's and related dementia symptoms, those sorts of things. It talks about diagnosis and what have you. So again, that's for a general audience or for anybody who wants to be involved or for somebody who's actually in a caregiving process. So that's called the basics. Okay. Know the 10 Signs, the basics. And the third one that we have is called Living with Alzheimer's. And that's available in a variety of options. It's a modular type presentation. So they all take approximately 4 to 5 hours to deliver in full.
Oh, wow.
So we break them up into modules, an hour and a half, an hour and three quarters, and that's the maximum. So we don't try to deliver it all at one time.
Okay.
We have Living with Alzheimer's for people with Alzheimer's.
Okay.
We have Living with Alzheimer's for caregivers in the early stage, in the middle stage, and in the late stage.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So there's a program for everybody. And it really narrows down into your particular journey once you choose the one that's right for you.
That's important.
We also have a brand new legal and financial program that we're just beginning to give out. So that one's important too. Finances, legal planning, money matters, all of those things are critically important, and the planning for them is even more important. So we have those programs. All of them are deliverable by a professional like myself, or they're all available online. You may be a caregiver who can't get out, but you still want to have that education. Just go to our website and you can take that program online and receive it in the same way.
So if a person wanted to connect and actually attend a program, how would they find out where they're located here in our area?
There's lots of different ways to do that. Certainly, we encourage everybody to call our 24/7 helpline, which is 1-800-272-3900.
Could you give that again?
1-800-272-3900.
Okay.
You can call and find out anything about Alzheimer's disease that you need, including where you're located. Local programs and support groups are. So you can also go to our the website, which is www.alz.org/NC for our local website.
Oh, okay.
So that gives you the main website and our local website address, and you can find out about programs that are particular to you and in your locality.
Wonderful. And do you offer support groups in our area?
We do. Support groups is what we're famous for. It's what we started with back in 1980, and we do have lots and lots of different types of support groups.
Wow. So we are going to take a short break. I'm here today with Eileen McGinnis-Valancourt talking about the Caregiver Toolkit and the Alzheimer's Association, and we will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Eileen McGinnis-Valancourt on WCHL talking about Alzheimer's disease and the Caregiver Toolkit. And I am your host, Nicole Bruno. Welcome back.
Thank you, Nicole.
So I know that Alzheimer's disease is a really big topic, and it's in mainstream media almost every single day. What are the latest facts and figures as it relates to Alzheimer's and related disorders in North Carolina and nationwide?
Nicole, in North Carolina, we have approximately 200,000 people who are diagnosed. The range is between 170 and 200,000. It's hard to pinpoint it because some people are not diagnosed, some people are underdiagnosed, some people are misdiagnosed, and some people just don't go to the doctor, period.
Yeah.
And so we figure that range is upwards close to 200,000. We also figure that each one of those people has approximately or on average three caregivers. So we're looking at a statistic of about 415,000 to 600,000 caregivers statewide, unpaid caregivers statewide. Mm-hmm. So those are people who typically deliver the care in their home.
Amazing. So on average, you're saying that's a new statistic. A person with Alzheimer's has 2 to 3 caregivers.
Yes.
On average.
On average. Could be more, could be less. Some people don't have any, but that's an average.
So what's the national facts and figures?
We are assuming, and I'm going with the 2012 facts and figures because next week the Alzheimer's Association will release the 2013 facts and figures. And so going on the 2012 figures, we think that approximately 5.4 million people, again, we had the same caveats. A lot of people are not diagnosed. And so 5.4 million people.
So that's nationwide, not worldwide.
Nationwide. That's nationwide.
Wow.
Worldwide, we're talking about between 35 and 40 million people. And that is expected to triple.
By when?
By 2050.
Oh, wow. That's a huge number.
It is. Absolutely. Astounding.
So for those listening, I know we have various different levels of knowledge about Alzheimer's disease, but what are the 10 warning signs?
The 10 most prevalent signs initially begin with memory loss, recent memory loss, what you had for breakfast or whether or not you had a shower or what you did yesterday. You know, if you went to the opera last night, if you have some dementia, you would recall just a few of the details and maybe not remember the whole event. And
now, what about me? I'm a sleep-deprived mother of a newborn.
So not necessarily a dementia of a different kind. Absolutely. I've experienced that, so I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
It is a little foggy in the morning. So looking at recent memory loss, looking at maybe some personality changes. There could be some apathy or some depression as well because things are different.
Sure.
Things are not happening in the same way that they're supposed to. There could be some nervousness, some anxiety. Those sorts of things can set in too. It's typical in the early stages for people to get lost in a very familiar surrounding. You could be on a jog in your neighborhood and come in to an intersection in the early stages of any dementia and not recognize where you are momentarily. Mm-hmm. So it's a terribly panicky type of a situation for someone. And they have to deal with those things. Of course, the orientation does come back, but so lack of orientation can also be an issue. There can be some issues with walking, gait, those sorts of things with the world around you and the dimensions that you're in. So there's lots of different symptoms, signs and symptoms. It could be financial issues, trouble balancing the checkbook, things like that.
So these are all just little things to look out for sure.
Yes.
So I don't think you can ever talk about this too often either because there's lots of confusion. What's the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia? You probably get that every day, but I think people think it's one and the same. And is it?
It's not actually. Alzheimer's is the most prevalent form of dementia. If I had an umbrella in the studio with me today, I would have the word dementia across the arc of the umbrella, and underneath it, I would have the names of 60 or 70 illnesses or diseases that present with symptoms of dementia. So there are many, many illnesses and diseases. Alzheimer's is the most prevalent. So in 70% of the cases of a diagnosis of a progressive dementia, Alzheimer's is going to be the most prevalent.
And are all of them incurable?
If it is a progressive dementia, yes, they are incurable, and Alzheimer's to date is also incurable.
Okay.
It is a fatal disease.
So then, you know, say I'm listening to you here today and I'm wondering about a loved one who maybe is showing a few of those signs that you just mentioned. How do we actually find out for sure that it's Alzheimer's disease?
It's so important to have a diagnosis. And the Alzheimer's Association says early diagnosis, there is so much value in knowing. The first thing I would do if I needed a diagnosis is call the Alzheimer's Association, 800-272-3900, and get a complete list of doctors who are proficient in my area of diagnosing Alzheimer's disease. I would also ask for a list, if it was available, of diagnosing centers such as the Duke University and UNC at Chapel Hill. It's important to be aware of those opportunities as well, because they care not only for the person who has the diagnosis, they care for the whole family in that type of a venue. And so I would want to do that. I would get a list. I would do my shopping and decide where I want my loved one to be diagnosed and go about it that way.
I've been hearing an awful lot about people younger getting Alzheimer's disease. Is there a difference between early stage and young onset?
There is, and you will notice that you said early and young, and I'm glad that you used those terms because early stage and early onset can get easily mixed up. Early stage is early stage of any disease, and that will never change. And so all diseases have stages. Alzheimer's is no different. Young onset is a very different type of Alzheimer's disease. Young onset is typically typically diagnosed in the 40s, 50s, and early 60s. Wow. So anybody under the age of 65 diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease is diagnosed with younger onset Alzheimer's. Late onset is typical. It is the most prevalent form of Alzheimer's disease, and it is typically diagnosed after the age of 65.
So I've heard that young onset Alzheimer's progresses much faster. Is that true?
It is very progressive, I can tell you from personal experience, because I was 16 when my dad was diagnosed. He was 50 years old. I will tell you that my dad was in such superior health that he lived for 11 years after his diagnosis and probably was symptomatic 4 years prior.
Okay.
So 15 years is a long journey, but he was young. There was nothing else wrong with him.
Right.
He had a couple of medical maladies, but nothing that was going to affect his lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
So... But the disease did ravage very quickly, and he did go through his cognitive reserve very quickly.
So he was probably lasted longer in the later stages.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, we are going to take a quick break. I am here today with Eileen McGinnis-Valancourt talking about Alzheimer's disease and the Alzheimer's Association on WCHL, and we will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Eileen McGinnis-Valancourt talking about the Alzheimer's Association, the Caregivers Toolkit on WCHL, and I am your host, Nicole Bruno. Well, I was just wondering if you could talk to us a little bit more about how a person can become involved in the fight against Alzheimer's disease. It sounds like you have a lot of things going on. I'm sure you can use all the help you can get.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, we thrive on working with people in the community and lots of volunteers. We love engaging people in all of the things that we're doing at the Alzheimer's Association, but we do have a couple of very specific events coming up, as well as our advocacy forum, which I like to tell you about as well. But let's go ahead and start with the Longest Day, which is an activity that it came about last year. Last year was its inaugural year, if you will. And there are some folks who just didn't want to walk to end Alzheimer's. They wanted to do something that was a little more physically strenuous.
Okay.
So they came up with an event that's called the Longest Day, and it takes place on the longest day of the year, which is June 20th.
Awesome.
It's 16 hours of activity. So in the triangle, we're going to have a longest day event.
Okay.
And we're going to start with cosmic bowling from 12 a.m. till 6 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to go all the way up until 6 p.m. the following evening. And it's going to be a great opportunity. It's going to be a 47-mile bike ride after the bowling marathon.
Wow.
It's going to be great if you're looking for something physical to do, if you're looking to use your voice, if you're looking to use your physical self to get involved and do something good for somebody else. This is definitely your event. It doesn't have to be part of that event. If anybody wants to create their own longest day event, that's great too. And we will rally and find support and get people to work with you. You may want to do 6 hours of swimming. It can be anything you want to do, or 16 hours of swimming, I should say. So let us know. We'll help you figure out what you want to do. You can call us at the local office, 919-803-8285. And April 25th through the 27th, please join me. Come to Washington, D.C. with us. Advocate for people who have Alzheimer's disease. If you have Alzheimer's disease, I want you to come with us. So please give us a call in the office or the 800 number. Let us know. The Advocacy Forum is your opportunity to use your voice and be face-to-face with your local congressional legislators. And you will tell them your story or how it affects you or what you have to say about them. These are the people that you vote for, and they do listen to you. Please join us. Give me a call in the office or check with our 800 number. We love to have you. There'll be about 800 of us up there storming the Hill, talking to Congress about the effects of Alzheimer's on caregivers, and really we want them to fund our national plan.
Great. Well, thank you for joining Eileen McGinnis-Valancourt and I today as we discuss Alzheimer's disease, the Alzheimer's Association, and the Caregiver Toolkit on WCHL. And as always, you may email your caregiving issues to caring@1360wchl.com.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as those people affected with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by Home Watch Caregivers. You can hear this and any other program of Caring Connections on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Be sure to email questions to caring at 1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.